Welcome to the Rob Comrade and Kale Show. Rob Sanders.
I don't care. My jokes don't go over. I don't care.
Comrade Mike Dabreski.
I don't care.
And Kale Hall.
This is stupid. Making noises on the show. You're like a crazy person. Why do you do this to your father and I?
The Rob Comrade and Kale Podcast.
And welcome in to the Rob Comrade and Kale Podcast. No, I'm not doing this by myself. Let's make sure we understand that. I do have a couple of co-hosts. They are, they'll be joining us shortly. So, I just figured I would just start the show on time tonight because it seems like we always end up with, you know, silliness. So I figured I would start the show on time, and then when they show up, when they can get off of, you know, their own timeline there, then whatever, we can go from there. But yeah, so my name is Rob Sanders. I'm on, of course, Twitter at Rob Sounds Good. You can also find me on Fox Sports Radio 1400 in Columbia, South Carolina. We appreciate you guys checking out the show there. Shout out to Tony, Keith, Cowboy John, watching on YouTube. Are you like a real cowboy, or are you just one of those guys that wears like just a cowboy hat that like isn't counted? Either way, it's cool. But people call themselves cowboys. I'm like, really? Okay. Anyway, thanks for joining the show tonight. We appreciate you. As my wife scowls at me. Shout out to Jacob, says, hey, what's up? I'm ready to argue. Yeah, that's what this show's going to be, is a lot of bickering back and forth about college football. I did an interview tonight with a radio station up north that I was on like a panel with the voice of the Purdue Boilermakers. That was kind of cool. And he was basically talking about how the Big Ten is a disaster right now with everything that was going on with it, and a lot of those players maybe wanting to leave. Can you imagine if Justin Fields decides, hey, I want to leave and I don't want to go far from Ohio State, so I'm going to go play at Kentucky? That's something that may happen. Why not? Justin Fields shouldn't have been so soft in leaving Georgia, by the way. I mean, let's be honest. When he was at Georgia, he left for a reason that was publicized, but then left his he left because the baseball players were using racial slurs against him, is what he said. But he left his sister there to play softball. So normally I don't defend the University of Georgia for anything, but the reality is that they are – a setup with, they have so many, they did the right thing in getting rid of those guys. Why did he leave his sister there if it was such a racist place? Just saying, that doesn't really make much sense. I think Georgia did the right thing there. Maybe it was just because he knew that he didn't have enough at the time to break the depth chart there at Georgia. I think Georgia wishes they had him now. No disrespect to Jamie Newman, who, by the way, Georgia fans, we goof a lot on this show. But you got a guy who is a heck of an athlete, a heck of an athlete. And I know a lot of Georgia fans are thinking, wow, the whole thing with him playing in the ACC. The young man from Wake Forest is outstanding. Newman is going to be a good player for you guys. So, yeah, there's that. Anyway, I have a couple of co-hosts that will be joining here shortly. Tony says he watched him in high school. He was an amazing talent. Yeah. And imagine this. He was at Wake Forest with quite possibly, and this is no disrespect to Wake Forest, but you know, the smallest Power Five school in the country, getting offensive linemen to come there and play is tough. And the reality is that he was able to put together some great years with suspect players and not a lot of help on with guys as far as skill positions. So, yeah, I like that guy a lot. I think he's going to do big stuff with Georgia. Now, normally I rip Georgia fans on here, but it's kind of hard with that man because he is outstanding. By the way, thank our first sponsor of the evening, Callaway's Bar and Grill out in West Columbia. Highway 1, diagonal from the Walmart. we can, you can join them and have, get yourself some great food. They have, of course, some really good wings and pizza and everything else. Apparently, I forgot to send the link to the Comrade and Kale, which I'm going to do that now. They're probably like, what's going on, Rob? Why aren't you here? Yeah, I messed up. It's my fault, guys. Don't get mad at me. I'm sending it to them right now as we get set up here to do the Rob, Comrade, and Kale show. Cowboy Don says, I wear the hat. I'm a country boy, yes, but it's more a gimmick-based name and a South Carolina Gamecock fan. The last part isn't really need to be said, just wanted to add it. So you're more proud of being a Gamecock fan than you are of your cowboy hat. SEC Dog says, give me a mic so I can hide and tell everyone to go F themselves. Congrats, Rob, you get the cake, sir. Sir, with all due respect, I put out there where I'm at. You can come at me on Twitter, Facebook, whatever. If you really want to get into the game, let us know. We'll bring you on the show. If you think that you can actually hang, it won't go over too well for you, though. Generally, people that step into the arena end up getting their feelings hurt. It's like grapes. We squash them and turn them into wine. But if you think you have the capability, have at it, sir. Would love to have you in here. I mean, the first thing we're going to tell you is, how'd that 4-8, that loss, that 4-8 South Carolina team feel? Yeah, that kind of sucks. He'll just become another bullpup underachiever. Talking about, yeah, Jamie Newman. Yeah, you may be right about that. By the way, I'm sporting my I Broke Kale's Leg t-shirt. You guys want one of those, get with me. I can get those printed for you with our buddy Eddie Hicks. But go and check out Callaway's Bar and Grill in West Columbia, Highway 1, diagonal from the Walmart. Diagonal, as I said, diagonal from the Walmart. They are online at callawaysbarandgrill.com. Edwin Reeves joins the show. Thank you for that. And there's the comrade. He's going to be upset with me because I forgot to send them the link. Here you go. Let's welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, the one of the most hated men ever. He is the comrade... of course, Mike Dabreski. Mike, what's up, brother?
You have one job, Rob. One job. But it's okay. I was a little kind of worried. I kept on checking my phone. Did I miss the link? Is my phone not working? But it's good to be here.
I just forgot to send it. It's my fault. I forgot to send it.
It's okay. Hey, yeah. Make mistakes at times. I mean, I don't.
We all make mistakes. As I've told you before, if you want to come and do the engineering on the show, feel free, sir.
You know, I would be happy. I mean, I would set new standards because you know that my background is very much into the.
You would fail. Fail.
Probably, but that's not my job. I'm the talent, Rob. You know,
get the fuck out of here.
The best example I can give you is like I am like the Beatles. Raquel and I are kind of like Paul and John.
Yeah.
Okay, McCartney and Lennon. And you're like one of the roadies.
Yeah. Well, that's great. He's talking right now he is not saying anything. So the Beatles didn't have problems with their mics running. Just saying.
The roadies.
That's what I'm saying.
The roadies are important. I'm not saying you're not important. The roadies aren't important. I'm saying that we're the talent.
Yeah, I know, right?
That's all.
SEC Dog gets upset with me because I just basically bring up things like you're 4-8. You lost to a 4-8 South Carolina team. That hurts his feelings.
By the way, SEC Dog, I ordered a shirt. It's a Gamecock alumni package thing. A bunch of shirts you get, part of being an alum. And anyway, one of the shirts, though, it says beat UGA, and the U is a goalpost, and the football is just a little bit outside.
All right, well, let's welcome in the portion of our show as I bring him up here because I screwed up. Hello to Carolina Jackpot, Kale Hall. Kale, welcome into the program, sir. Sorry I was late sending the invite there. My fault, man.
No, not a problem.
Kale, I got to ask you a question, though, real quick. I've made the analogy that Rob is kind of like a roadie, okay, and we're the talent. We're McCartney and Lennon. Which one do you want to be, John Lennon or Paul McCartney? Which one do you feel is more your thing, McCartney or Lennon?
This is fucking stupid. This is fucking stupid.
I have no clue. McCartney, I guess.
I'll be John. I'll be John.
You know, why don't we thank our final sponsor of the night, and that, of course, is our friends at DNC Trucking and Transport. They've got a no spin zone segment with the comrade because the comrade spews bullshit like he is spewing right now. It's like diarrhea of the jawbone, constantly spinning everything. Dennis Wilson set every pace for this spot every week where we have some truthful things that come from the comrade. So with tonight's DNC Trucking and Transport Truth Segment of the Week, we welcome in the comrade, Mike DeBressy. Go!
It sucks being Gamecock. I wish I had a man with the character that Dabo Swinney has to run my football program. I hope the SEC decides to cancel, like the Big Ten. I'm not looking forward to a two-win disaster. Betty Wilson hates me. I am the reason Cale Hall pisses in his sink. It's utterly shameful to be a Gamecock. Go Tigers.
That message courtesy of Dennis Wilson, DNC Trucking and Transport. Apparently, I've pissed off the one of the fans of the team that lost to a 4-8 team. Even though they were a top-5 team at home, they managed to lose to a 4-8 team. And apparently he's had over here in the chat. Poor guy. I feel bad for you, sir. I guess we can pray for you, but that's not really going to help. Jonathan makes a good point there. It is shameful to be a Gamecock. I feel sorry for you, too. I really do. It's absolutely shameful to be a Gamecock. Unless it's women's hoop season. Just saying.
It's all sports combined. We don't just focus on one sport. It's all sports.
Well, you should just focus on women's basketball because that's what we're
well rounded. Speaking of women's basketball, real quick, women's basketball. The Pac-12 canceled all sports through January. Okay, and let's be real. It's not about football. They were supposed to play the Lady Gamecocks. Oregon was. But Lady Gamecocks in basketball in December, and that's why they canceled all sports. They're afraid of Dawn, afraid of ladies. That's all there was. Had nothing to do with football, okay? They ran their mouth off. They beat the Lady Gamecocks. And, of course, December was the game, and they knew they couldn't back it off. So that was it.
People wonder why we have the DNC trucking no spin zone with the comrade, because the comrade spews vile and shit like that. Jonathan says it's through December, but we'll see. Thanks to Jonathan online for checking out the show. Stick around this evening, ladies and gentlemen. We'll take phone calls later on. Also, our asshole of the week. I've got my asshole, and it is a former Gamecock. And you know what? I venture to say that both of my co-hosts, even though this gentleman is a former Gamecock, will agree that this guy was probably the biggest asshole of the week. So stick around for that, because that is coming down the pipe, ladies and gentlemen, the asshole of the week later on. The first thing I want to get into this evening, guys, is that you know both the Big Ten and the Pac-12 have decided to cancel their seasons. We have one team, at least, that is point-blank saying, you know what, maybe we'll go somewhere else. And, of course, that's Nebraska from the Big Ten. Do you think they're acting like a spoiled child, or do you think that they have a point that they should be able to play? Cale, we'll start with you, sir.
Well, I guess they have a point that they should be able to play, but I mean, they really can't just – I don't – you know, you're a member of a conference, and, you know, you can't just rogue, just willy-nilly do that, I don't think. Of course, there hasn't been a precedent set for it, so I don't know. I don't think you can – I don't think that anything will come of that, though. I don't think they're going to be able to play. I mean, I'm sure they want to, but conference said no, so – I mean, you could be some stiff stuff coming down the pipe there if they choose to try to buck that. I don't think they can.
Mike, what do you think, man? Are they being a spoiled child?
Well, I mean, first of all, a lot of people said this about the Gamecocks. The Gamecocks just tell the SEC to F off. We're playing Clemson. And that would not be wise, because the Gamecocks enjoy being the SEC. Nebraska is a little bit –
he's muted.
Or something like that. So I think this might be a ploy, not a ploy, but they want to play. But this kind of this could be their out. Like, you know what? We're gonna be a free agent. Leave the Big 12 got room for them. I'm sure they'll take them back and do that. But I mean, Nebraska's point though, in Nebraska they have like hardly any cases of COVID. So I can understand why they're a little bit pissed because they're not really seeing it. It's a little bit different down here in the South where, and I know we're going to get into all this dispute, but the reported numbers are high, okay? We'll just say that. People say the numbers are fake, whatever. But, you know, it's a little bit different down here because we can kind of see it more. In Nebraska, they have no one basically has any COVID issues. So they're like, why the hell can we play? So you might see it. And as Cal said, too, this would be a good point with a bunch of teams is I don't think we've ever really seen exactly what the legalities are of being in a conference. Can you just go rogue? Can Ohio State just say, you know what? We're going to go play SEC teams this year. And what happens with a TV contract? And there's a Big Ten, like how that works. So I doubt anyone will kind of push that envelope, but it will be interesting to see if someone does. But I think Nebraska's case, I think this might be their – they kind of went out of the Big Ten, and this could be their reason to say, you know what, we went out. This is why.
Well, I think that the commissioner of the Big Ten said tonight, I think it was, that if Nebraska decides to play outside of the Big Ten, then they won't be in the Big Ten. But Nebraska also needs to understand that they got $52 million in TV money last year. You think the Big Ten's going to give them $52 million in TV money again this year if they decide to play in the fall instead of the spring where the Big Ten is trying to set up their football schedule now? No, you're not going to get your money. So I would literally tell them, if you don't want your TV money, go ahead. But make sure you understand you're in violation of your contract and you have to pay your exit fee. Thanks for playing. That's exactly what should happen. Now, I agree with what the comrades said, that they want to play. I get that. But you know what? Everybody wants to play. But the old L word is going to stop a lot of this, and that is liability. Liability. Who's going to get sued? And, you know, I said this on my show today. No one wants to be the one school that has to go to one parent and says, you know what, when I recruited your boy to come into my program, I told you that I would take care of him, but we came back, he contracted COVID-19, and now he's dead, and I'm sorry. Wants to have that conversation? Line up, ladies and gentlemen. Nobody wants to do that. Nobody does. So Nebraska's making a valid point of, hey, we want to play, but in reality, if I were the AD at Nebraska, I would call in Coach Frost, who keeps running his mouth, by the way, and tell him, you know what, you should probably shut up for a little bit. Just remember, it's much bigger than you are. So that's kind of where I'm on the Nebraska front. It's just, by the way, Comrade made a good point. The big thing about Nebraska doesn't have any cases of the COVID, that should tell you something. Nobody wants to fucking go to Nebraska anyway. The fuck do we get from Nebraska? Tell me one good thing we get from Nebraska.
We
can't think of anything that's
viable. We get College World Series hardware. I know that. We get
we
bring home hardware.
They should move the World Series to Charlotte.
It's called Omaha, South Carolina, we call it. They should build us their own little hotel, little Garnet Hotel. We go out there where they were like the whole freaking few weeks.
Jonathan says we get corn. We grow corn in every state of the union, so we can just roll right past Nebraska and not really get anything that's worth it.
I will not talk badly with Nebraska. I have an affection for them, and I wish they were better. I wish they were better. And the Big Ten's not working, so I kind of hope they leave the Big Ten. And I kind of want them to get back to, you know, kind of where they were. I seem to be a power again, like a team that's like they're the top five every year, you know. And So if that's not working, and you know what, leave the Big Ten and have Missouri go to the Big Ten. Missouri fits more in the Big Ten, not an SEC school. Have Missouri go to the Big Ten, Nebraska would go to the Big 12, and then, you know, we'll have an open for the SEC, and maybe we'll invite FSU in.
I think they're a really huge exporter of beef cattle.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Mm. Thank you for that, Cale. I like beef.
You know, don't you like hamburgers?
Exactly. But if it's just fucking corn, then why not? And by the way, the comrade's so quick to throw Mizzou under the bus. It's hilarious. South Carolina, once again, is the government welfare program of the SEC.
No,
government cheese, man.
That's what you are.
We bring them terrible.
We bring them College World Series titles. We bring them ladies basketball titles. I mean, we hold our own. No one cares. We bring the number one draft picks.
No one cares.
We do. We do, bro. So don't act like we don't do stuff for the SEC.
You don't bring anything.
Here's my offer. Missouri brings a lot.
Georgia team. That's about
Missouri
all you bring.
Missouri brings a lot to the SEC.
Yeah, they stepped in and won two conference titles.
Slipping in the back door.
So, I mean, real quick, here's my question for you. Here's my question. I got two questions for my co-hosts, okay? The first question is, what percentage, confident-wise, okay, do you give that we will see at least one college football game this fall? Okay, that's the first thing. And my second question is, what percentage do you give that we'll see a full college football season this fall? So first thing, do we see even one game? Okay, one game in the fall. And what percentage do we have like a full – the season that they have mapped out right now, the 10-game season for the SEC, 11 games for the SEC. Okay, by the way, a month from today – it kicks off, by the way. A month from today, the ACC and the Big 12 kick off. A month from today. I don't know if you knew that, but a month from today. Okay? Cool. So what are your chances that a month from today we see a football game?
Rob, Kale, you go first.
Okay, Kale.
Okay. Go, let Kale go first. Go ahead, Kale.
The way it's going now?
Kale?
I mean, they
– what do you think, man?
They – seen it before, 85.
Okay. I'm kind of leaning 60-40.
As far as we'll see it, and then.
Yeah. I'm kind of leaning 60% that we're going to see football September 12th.
With the ACC?
With the ACC. I think the Big 12 is that day, too. Is where? Is the Big 12 the same day?
I got to check on that, but.
I'll probably go more 50-50. I think it's a coin flip. I don't think they're going to – I think they're trying to play is they're going to go through it. And I think the ACC and the SEC are kind of in it together in a way. I think if the Big 12 were to cancel, I think it puts some pressure on them. But I think it's the ACC and SEC are kind of together. Like, we're going to see this out. But the thing is, though – the ACC plays 2 weeks before the SEC plays. So the SEC is going to look at the ACC as a guinea pig and see what happens. I think they can get to September 12th. The question is going to be, what happens when kids are on campus? And like in baseball right now, the St. Louis Cardinals are about to basically just exit out of baseball because they can't play any games right now. And so – you know, if that happened to college football, I think you may see that too, where we might have a team or two say, have a kid who makes a bad decision, and their whole team gets it, and they can't play, and then you kind of do it that way. But I'm starting to think more and more that we'll get to the 12th and maybe see a game. I'm not sure how much longer we'll go after that, but we'll see.
Well, in my opinion, I think that on campus right now. You know, Comrade mentions we're a month away. On campuses right now, I know Clemson and South Carolina because I did some research on that. I think it was yesterday. The students come back in full force starting this weekend. A lot of the Clemson students are pretty much back up in the upstate. South Carolina's students move back into the dorms on the 15th, but a lot of them are coming back now that live off campus. So you've got a good bit of people on campus now. Both schools are setting it up where to return to campus, you have to take a COVID-19 test. But the reality is that, you know, you can pick it up from just about anywhere. So I think there's going to be an influx in numbers. And I think a lot of it's going to spike with some of these football players because they're going to have a whole lot more people that are right there in the mix. So I think the idea of playing September the 12th is a little reaching. I think that the ACC is going to revise their schedule and move back to the 26th. and go with everyone else. That's just a feeling that I have. And I think that everybody should is probably going to eventually uniformly do that. I think that they'll play games on the 26th, but I do think that it's going to end up being where you can't control where these college kids go. One portion's going to end up giving it to the whole damn team. Imagine if we have a big conference matchup like let's use the Clemson-Notre Dame game or insert SEC matchup here, LSU and Alabama. They do the test on Thursday night. They get everybody back and squared away. All of a sudden, your kicker, your quarterback, and your starting wide receiver all test positive for the COVID. They can't play. Now, the whole rest of the team, is, by the way, has been exposed, so they can't play. So now you don't have those two games regardless. Now, they did leave themselves some windows in there where they could possibly move some games around. I think that teams will start on the 26th. I think that's about an 80% chance, in my opinion. As far as finishing the season, as my kitten tries to attack me here, as far as finishing the season, I think it's at about 20%. But that leads into my next topic with the NCAA. My big thing with them is that they have sat up there and they've been cowards. They haven't come out with a commissioner-like statement of, we're doing this. Everybody's playing on September the 26th, or everybody's waiting to play until the spring. They haven't done that. They are ballless. Just a Ken doll, smooth surface. Pull down their pants. It's a smooth surface up there with the NCAA. They don't want to get sued. They pretend to be in the corner of the student athlete, but they're not. And that's going to be the big problem there, is that they didn't come out and have a blanket statement where everybody could play. Well, and because of them, that's why we've got, I like this, I like that, I like this, I like that, instead of having a unified movement for everyone.
Well, the NTA, though, really doesn't control football. I mean, the football is kind of – I mean, they're governed by the rules. But, I mean, when the NCAA does not – I mean, the college football Division I does not have a championship. And that, like, they have their own little playoff. You know, every other NCAA sport, every other football in the lower division has a playoff, and you get the NCAA trophy, that little flat trophy. It's all the same. Basketball, baseball, okay, all the same thing. And football has always been different. So I'm not sure, you know, the NCAA is so – it's just so inefficient.
It's that that's the whole point, though.
Yeah, Mike.
Look, if all the college teams are playing for the NCAA championship, they should have it set up for that. Everybody
they play for the AP championship, and they play for the coaches championship, and they play for the college football playoff championship. All NCAA does not run it. The NCAA does not run the college football postseason for Division I.
But they recognize the college football playoff winner as the national champion.
They recognize it, yeah, but they don't run it. Okay. They don't give out their NCAA trophy. Their trophy, that isn't in there. That's why I made a joke before that Clemson does not have one of those trophies. Those little NCAA trophies, because they don't give them football.
Mike, what you're dealing with there is semantics.
I know, but college football broke away from them a while ago because they crown their own champion. They like doing the whole bowl system.
I get that. Still governed by the NCAA's rules. The NCAA should come out with rules for everybody. I don't know why this is so hard.
Well, they have to come out with rules with the whole – with the Big Ten. The Big Ten and Pac-12 don't play in the spring either. What do you do about scholarship limits? What do you do about giving players next year the eligibility, all that stuff? And the NCAA has been – also, what do you do about, like, in terms of – here's the other thing, too. Barry Alvarez or someone said – the Big Ten said that the Big Ten teams were allowed to practice about 20 hours a week. Like, what's the point of canceling the season? But you let them practice 20 hours a week anyway, no season, so you just work with the games? I mean, that makes no sense. I mean, if you're worried about them contracting the virus, practice you can contract as well. So, like, it's just kind of weird. Big Ten's kind of all over the place. I don't quite get it.
Kel, what do you think, man?
About what?
About what we were just talking about with the NCAA. Do you think that, in my mind, they should have, we should have all the conferences should get together and have one set way to go? I mean, that would make the most sense to me. It's generally what we do anyway, right? Everybody pretty much starts about the same time. Conference championships are generally about the same time. I mean, that would make the most sense. Yeah.
Yeah, you would think so. But I mean, this is just there's just no blueprint for any of this. It's just like, you can make one decision and everybody sticks with it, and then you don't know if it's the right decision to make. Who the hell knows? This is just a damn mess.
It's a shit show. It's a shit show.
The comment I see down here, Edwin Reeves says, not sure SEC really would miss you shine. I'm not going to call it you suck. You shine. Baseball. Who is he a fan of?
Yeah, he must have been wrong, right?
That would be LSU.
Oh, yeah. They've contributed a lot of World Series titles to the SEC there.
Hmm. Are you going to war with LSU now, Kel?
Fuck LSU. Nah.
Fuck LSU. Right. That's what Kel brings to the show. They did their one damn good deed
for me last year. So, yeah, other than that, now fuck them. Just somebody else. Just another stepping stone on our schedule.
Fuck them in the ear, right?
That's right. Fuck them in the nose. God damn. Fuck them in the ear.
Fuck them in the ear. Yeah. Anyway. One other thing that I wanted to get you guys' opinions on is if the three conferences decide, hey, we're going with it. And by the way, some of the other smaller conferences are going to follow whatever the SEC and the ACC do. Teams like the conferences at the Sun Belt have said that they're going to essentially follow the SEC model. So some of the other schools, maybe the SoCon, are going to be in the same mix here. But on that front, if players want to transfer from, say, the Big Ten and the Big 12, I think that they should be given an immediate waiver. Are you guys on board with that? Okay, what do you think about that? Teams, you could transfer in a guy like a Justin Fields or Jake Bentley. Imagine Jake Bentley coming back to South Carolina. Hey, boys, you know what? He'd be the best quarterback on the roster. Bum, bum, bum. Imagine that.
I feel bad for that.
You have 85 scholarships for a reason, and you've already started practice, and now what are we going to do, kick somebody off scholarship so that Jake Bentley can come back and play, or
snake,
or so that Justin Fields can? No, they went to other schools, they transferred. They took a chance, and nobody knew, obviously, what was going to happen here, what would transpire, but They are what they are. You can't. I mean, we're already in the midst of practice.
Can I make a bold prediction here? If they did grant immediate eligibility and Jake Bentley decided to come back to South Carolina, I move South Carolina from getting 2 wins to 3 wins, maybe 4. Jake Bentley would bring that much to you. I'll go from 2 wins to 4 wins for sure for South Carolina if Jake Bentley came back. Yep. Gail's not buying it. Comrade loves Jake Bentley. You want to tell us about Jake Bentley getting drafted higher than Deshaun Watson again?
Once again, you still want to go down that road, Comrade? Let's go through that again. So once again, it gets brought up again. Okay, so 3 years ago, or what it was, on this show, I predicted that Jake Bentley would get drafted higher than Deshaun Watson. Now,
you did.
And the topic wasn't even Bentley and Deshaun Watson. It was about the draft and how NFL GMs are stupid. And my whole point was, back when Jake Bentley was a sophomore, and I said, if Jake Bentley stays all 4 years and starts all 4 years, he's the kind of guy that NFL GMs reach for, because they go, oh, four-year starter. And, of course, he'll be a Wonderlic score kid. He's a coach's son kid. And my whole point was that Deshaun Watson should have been drafted number one overall. Okay, but you know, they kind of outthink themselves. I go, so my whole point was, I go, it wouldn't shock me to see Jake Bentley go hire Deshaun Watson. Okay, and then Rob goes, you're crazy. I go, you know what? I'm gonna put it right now. He gets drafted to hire Deshaun Watson. And I made it clear, I don't think he's better than Deshaun Watson. I think it'll be a bust. It'll be like a Mitch Trubisky, okay, or danger quarterback that gets drafted early on that blows out. And of course, that turns into Facebook groups that, oh, he thinks Bentley better than Watson and all that stuff in there. The whole point was
I never said that. I just said what you said at the beginning. Bentley would get drafted higher. That's what you said.
I know that the clown's in there, but it's not that he's better. My whole point was that NFL GMs are dumb when it comes to drafting quarterbacks. And okay, and there's always examples. Mr. Trubisky is the latest one. Okay. They sit there and they go, four-year starter. His wonder looks cool with 806. I mean, and they don't look at the actual game tape. You look at the game tape and say, Trubisky is never through Deshaun Watson. So that was my whole point, which turns into
Bentley's better than any quarterback you have on the roster right now. You want to argue that point? Because I think he's fucking flat out better.
I did. Because I said he'd be a first round pick. I did. Yeah. Now listen, the whole idea now, the whole premise of my Jake Bentley thing was that he plays in 4 years and starts 4 years. Okay. The fact is, he then got hurt in game one of his senior year with a foot injury and transferred, and now there's another year he can't play. So the whole thing is, oh, we could draft it higher? Well, now the whole reason a GM would have reached for him is not there, okay? Because now he's got all kinds of question marks, okay, which he has too. The whole point was he has this, oh, it's a four-year starter. Coach's kid. I wonder the score. Well, now he's
what does this say? Noah Sheldon 500 says Jake Bentley could have had – a Joe Burrow type of year at Utah this year. First of all, Jake Bentley has not shown the consistency over his career to even warrant it. It's that's the fucking stupidest statement. That's the goddamn stupidest thing that I've seen all week. And I see some stupid shit online.
Well,
God damn.
If we had a normal season this year,
Utah is known for putting prolific quarterbacks in the Heisman, running for fucking Heisman trophies. Whatever, fucking
Alex Smith was pretty fucking good. I mean, he turned his leg into a question mark, but he was pretty good.
He wouldn't be. Listen, I think Jake would have had a good year in Utah. I think Jake would have had put up a lot of big numbers. Joe Burrow, I mean, that's a little bit, but I think he had a good year this year at Utah. And I was kind of curious to see what he would do. And I think he could have gotten himself back into discussion for a first round pick, maybe, as Carlos Solo said. But,
what I'm saying. He's a first round draft pick on the Comrade Big Board. If we had Comrade standing up there in his damn Russian uniform with is the Comrade Big Board, Jake Bentley would be up there. He'd be higher than 14th, which is where Deshaun Watson was drafted.
Told you that Jake Bentley would go in the first round. I said he may go higher than Watson, and I said he'd be a bust in the NFL. In other words, like I wouldn't take him. I'm the GM. I'm saying there's a GM out there that I think would have taken him high because of all the intangible stuff, and I've watched the play, as Kale says. I've watched his ass play long enough that he's just not mental, like in terms of his confidence. He doesn't. We had this discussion before about throws off his back foot. He loses confidence pretty quick. That's not a real recipe for a good NFL quarterback. But I really thought if everything would have went normal, that he would have been unreal. Like, you know, a good example. Remember the golf cart thing? We went to the camp, had a great hit all the golf carts. Okay, that's the kind of shit he would do if he had a normal season, and then they had a normal off season. That's kind of stuff that would happen. He would impress coaches interview. He'd have a great workout. Like, oh, man, he didn't miss a damn pass. Okay? One to the score, 847. And I swear to God, all that stuff, and he goes, oh, man. And some GM would go, I think I phoned my diamond in the rough. And would take him, like, number 10 overall. Okay? Mm-hmm. He would suck ass. That was my whole point.
I mean, what did he do? He sat there, he threw for – he picked apart Clemson – 515 yards, and then three games later, spanning over to the next year, though, and what did he throw, like two picks, and threw for like, what, 280 yards against a fucking shitty-ass North Carolina defense?
I think talent-wise, he's real talented. I think up here.
Yeah.
I think up here. You watched the Clemson game, and he played with confidence. The problem is he doesn't play with confidence that much. Like he gets going where he starts aiming the ball. We had a discussion before, which is Rob and I in here, not Kale. And some of those games, you would watch some games, he would try to aim the ball, try to steer the ball. And playing quarterback before, I know what that's like. I've had games like that too, where you just don't, you know, the defense has got you, and you start trying to kind of aim the ball in there, and that shit does not work. You got to let it fly and play loose. Against Clemson, he was like that. The problem is that he never could get that going all the time. Okay, he gets hit early on, or he gets sacked early on. All of a sudden, he goes back to throwing up his back foot, trying to steer the ball, aim the ball. I mean, there's guys open. I remember that the one game that he had a guy wide open. The guy still caught it, but like you tell, he's like, "Oh man, he's open. He's trying to." I mean, so I just don't think that will in the NFL. I think that gets revealed even more. But talent wise, I think he's got the arm. I think he's got everything you need talent wise, which is why he would excel in the offseason draft combine crap they do. He would raise his stock nonstop. He'd be the kind of guy that, you know, whoever, the draft nitpicks, you know, would be like, oh, he's really rising, man. These coaches like him. They like him a lot, man. Like, and I would, you know, he's the kind of kid, and then you draft him, and he gets a shot in the NFL, and he blows a donkey dick. So that's my point.
All right, Carlos, well, let's move on. The comment section, Carlos says that Bentley is a Taj boy. No, he wasn't. Taj actually fucking won games.
Taj had a great college career. Put up a bunch of numbers. Man,
Taj didn't have a 2-1 touchdown interception ratio. I think Bentley was more like 1.5 touchdowns to 1 interception at one point in goddamn time. So
yeah, Bentley's girlfriend was hot though. We'll give him that. Jonathan, an idea from Jonathan that. Is watching on the show tonight. He sent me this earlier via message. He goes, the idea is 4 super conferences, Southwest, Southeast, Northwest, and Northeast. 20 teams each from that region will cover the 80 teams. Those conferences will be split into 2 divisions of 10 or 4 of 5. From either you have a conference championship game of the division winners or 4-team playoff of the division winners. Either way, the 4 conference champs, the quote new CFP that covers 80 of the 120 teams in Division One. That's it. They're completely breaking away, and you know what? That kind of makes some sense. I mean, I kind of like that. You know, you don't end up including everybody. The 40 that get left out are going to be pissed off, but around the 80 teams, I mean, in theory, that's more than what the Power 5 conferences now. You've got what? What is it? Is it like 64, 65 teams? So you'd be, in theory, adding 15 teams. Yeah. The 40 to get left out would be pissed off, but that, I kind of like that. What do you guys think about that sent to us by Jonathan?
Yeah, I mean, you know, unfortunately, there's some teams in the Power 5 that probably shouldn't be there, like Vanderbilt.
Yeah, like South Carolina, Vanderbilt. Yeah, those teams.
You know, they just don't put a big commitment to football. But you know, ideally, like, you know, there's some teams like Central Florida who should be who could be a big Power 5 conference team. You know, teams like even South Florida. I mean, you can get all those in the, and eventually they get in there too. I think they had a better chance than say a Vanderbilt, Wake Forest, who I think they take football more serious. But yeah, I mean, I'm curious how this is all gonna kind of shake out. I think 10 years from now, I'm curious to see how college football has changed because of what happened this year. Whether it be as mentioned before, I still think, man, I'm going to champion this crap all the time. I hope a few conferences, a couple conferences, lower tier conferences, start playing spring ball.
I think it'd be
a huge hit. It would be a huge hit.
And I was
a commissioner of the AAC or. I would be like, we're a spring league. and we're going to market the shit out of it. We're going to TV deal the only effing game in town this spring, and we're going to be a spring league. And players will go there. They'll get to hold all the draft. Trust me, NFL, they can still – the baseball has their season going on during the draft. I mean, baseball yep. players draft for freaking playing in the damn regionals, okay? So, I mean, so it's not like they can't play in the NFL. But I would do that. If I'm a commissioner of one of those conferences, the group of five conferences, I'd be like, we're a spring league. I'm going to go to the networks. Who wants first crack at the deal? Make more money. Get exposure. You're going to have people who are football fans who want spring football who are going to latch on to one of your teams in the conference and be their spring team. They're my spring team, man. Who's your normal team? I'm a damn Bulldog Georgia fan. You know, we lose to the Gamecocks. My spring team, though, man, I tell you what, I love Memphis. My spring team is Memphis, man. Got my Memphis shirt, bro.
Do you like the idea of the four super conferences, basically, where you have 20 teams in each conference and then you have the division winners? I mean, that is something different, but it's really not that far out there.
I would prefer fewer teams.
Ask Kale. Let Kale tell us. Holy shit.
No, I really don't. I really don't like that. I'd rather see them expand and have an 18 playoff before they go with that. That's just I don't know. I don't like that at all.
You don't like that. Well, I tell you what, gentlemen, before we get out of here, we have to have, of course, one of the newer segments here on the show. It's called the Asshole of the Week.
How many assholes we got on this ship anyhow?
The asshole of the week.
I'm surrounded
by assholes. Yeah, the asshole of the week. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you my asshole of the week. And it comes from former Gamecock Lou Holtz, who made an appearance on Fox News and said this.
I think they should play, but then again, I think that you have to say the player. You want to play if you have a problem. If you're diabetic or something, and you have your legitimate reason you don't want to play, absolutely, don't play. The rest of you want to play, let's play. I think that we shut everything down for 6 months. I'm going crazy about being quarantined. I think we're tired of living with our life. When they stormed Normandy, they knew that there would be risk.
Okay. Everything he said, you could make an argument about everything he said about, okay, we need to get out, we need to do this, we need to do that. All right. I'm fine with all of that. But when he says, when they stormed Normandy, he fucking lost me. Comrade's hanging his head low because a former Gamecock, that is my asshole of the week. I don't think you gentlemen can top that. Comparing COVID to fucking Normandy. Holy fucking shit.
And I post on Facebook this. Listen, I love Lou Holtz in terms of what he did for the Carolina Gamecocks, but this is just dumb. I mean, the people who stormed Normandy were doing it to free the world. Okay, that was like the risk was we're going to die maybe, okay? Someone's going to die.
Yeah, we're speaking this podcast and fucking joking. I'll be looking at the comments. Okay? Fix me some fucking sauerkraut, bitch.
Yeah, this is like we're going to play football to what? To entertain people. I mean, like, it's just a little bit different. Yeah. So, yeah, that's just kind of out of whack. It makes no sense.
Kale, do you have a bigger asshole than Lou Holtz?
He is like 100.
Yeah, he's a little bit – his wife just died. He's probably a little bit confused.
Bye? Is that what it is? Yeah. All right. Well, I think he's the asshole of the week. I don't think that'll be topped. And
I got a good one, though. I got a good one. They're not quite Lou Holtz level, but pretty damn dumb.
Who is it? Don't say Rob Sanders because fuck that. Rob doesn't live far from you.
So, all right. So I'll tell the whole story first. I'll get my asshole of the week. So, Zach Plesac of the Cleveland Indians. He's not the asshole of the week now, not him. Okay. He's a pitcher for the Indians. He's the son of Dan Plesac. If you're a baseball nerd, you know Dan Plesac was a good reliever back in the day. He's a prospect.
I was about to ask if that was in your life.
Yeah. That's him. So, a pretty good prospect. Okay. Young kid. He goes out to a restaurant, bar, to eat, which is against the policies, okay? And you can disagree, whatever, but baseball has a policy that while they're playing, your ass can't be going to bars and restaurants and going out partying because of the COVID stuff, all right? He goes out there and gets caught, okay? And they immediately send him off the team and away because he has to quarantine now as punishment, all right? So on the plane back, they send him away. The Indians get on a plane to go back to or to go to their next game, okay? And on the plane is a pitcher named Mike Clevenger, and he is defending Zach Plesac to his teammates. Like, listen, man, he made a mistake, bro, okay? You just leave him alone. As they get back in there, they find out that Zach Plesac was not alone out in the bar. Mike Clevenger was with him, didn't admit to it, was defending him, and his possibly infected ass was on the plane with his teammates going back there, okay? So he could have infected the whole damn team, all that stuff there too. So that was pretty clear. He didn't come out and say before he got in the plane. He defended Zach Plesac as, hey, made a mistake, bro. Instead of saying I was with him, I actually took him out. It was my idea, okay? And he keeps that to himself until it's discovered by, you know, other team sources. So Mike Clevenger is my asshole of the week.
Well, Kale, do you have an asshole that you'd like to share? No, that came out wrong. Kale, do you have someone that was a big asshole this week?
Damn. My asshole of the week is Chris Jericho.
Wow. Why is that?
Because Chris Jericho tweeted at our friend Jim Cornette that he is from watching and commenting on the fucking AEW product until he revokes it. Hey, you know what? Jim Cornette gave him his first big break. What the fuck? And the product sucks.
That's a very good point, Kale. I think that we all found assholes this week. Imagine that. We're taking calls this evening. If you want to join the show, 803-470-2905. 803-470-2905. You can call in with your asshole of the week. You can call in with if you want to cuss out the Big Ten. If you want to call in and cuss out the SEC, whatever it is you want to do, the ACC. If you want to call up and try to mock me about Clemson and stuff, I'll sit here and pretend to listen. Whatever you want to go with, 803-470-2905. SEC Dog earlier was telling me just keep talking, Rob. Well, SEC Dog, there's the number you. And I promise you, I'll just kick back and just let you spew whatever nonsense you've got. You can talk to us about 1980 with Herschel Walker and how great the team was. And that was like 40 years ago. And
we'll listen to all that. Before you did.
Oh, damn.
That's fine. That's a good point. That's fine. We have three since then. So. They can fuck themselves. That's what I think about Georgia fans. They can fuck themselves with a horse hoof. There you go. I said that. Alabama fans can fuck themselves with a horse hoof.
You should not be mad at Rob. He defended the Hedges.
Come on.
Well, come on, Kale.
They don't even.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I think that's even legitimate, is it?
What's that?
Legitimately realize there's have an asterisk beside it.
What, the 81 game? 81 championship team?
Yes.
Yeah, that's real. It's recognized by the NCAA.
Here we go.
Go to the phones. Good evening. Welcome to the Rob Comrade and Kale Show. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Good. What you got for the show?
Not much, man. Just wanted to, I know SEC hasn't opted out of the season yet and everything, but you guys are Carolina fans, right? Carolina Jackpot, right?
Carolina Jackpot's a fan, yeah.
Yeah. I'm curious for South Carolina fans, how much longer you guys plan on giving Will Muschamp until you guys let him go?
I'll let you guys answer that because I don't have anything valid on that. So,
as far as that goes, I'm already done with him. I was done with him last year after the North Carolina game, but somehow, like a turd that won't flush, he keeps popping back up in the service. Now, I will say that he has a very sizable buyout because, you know, a few years ago, our brilliant athletic director thought it was a great idea to give him a huge damn raise and a huge contract because he won 9 games, most of which was against piss poor competition. So there's that. And then you got this year, and it really doesn't matter what he does. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if we win 2 games, if we win 5 games. I mean, he's not. I seriously doubt that he will be held accountable for a bad season this year. Just because of what's going on.
Well,
I don't know how that. I don't know how a season like this will affect his buyout on his contract, because along with some of the other coaches at the University of South Carolina, took pay cuts. So I really don't know. Maybe I could kick that one to Rob over there. How do you think that would work?
Well, I mean, they agreed to pay cuts. He also restructured his contract, I think brought down his buyout a little bit, to pay for Thomas Brown's contract, who then went on to bigger and better things there too. But I think the buyout's too high. You can't really hold him accountable for this season because this season's a shit show. I honestly think he can go out there and go 0-10, and they're going to have him back next year. That's just my opinion. From the economic front, I think that – and I'm not saying that because I'm a Will Muschamp guy. Should never fucking hired him. He's on par with a SoCon coach. But
I think he's a terrible coach.
He's mean, terrible. The only guy who wants him is fucking Comrade. Comrade runs his damn fan club. Go ahead, Paula.
Okay. Yeah. The best thing. What was your record last year? 5-7, 4-8, or something like that.
Fucking eight.
The best thing you could say about last year was, hey, we beat Georgia in Athens, but that's because Jake Fromm sucks anyway. So, I mean, they didn't have offense. So, I mean, but still.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you joining us on the show, buddy.
Hopefully, if they keep working that contract long enough, they can whittle that buyout down to 2 Jumbo Jack burgers with cheese and a fifth of wild turkey.
I hope it's served from a fucking Dairy Queen window with an obnoxious clerk. That's what I fucking hope for. That's what he fucking deserves. 10:30 on a fucking Wednesday night, he drives up to fucking Dairy Queen and gets a stale chili dog and a half-eaten ice cream cone.
A Dairy Queen up in Buttfuck, Kentucky.
Yeah. If you guys lose to Kentucky, I swear to you, they should find the nearest Dairy Queen and he should have his ass go there and get a fucking nasty chili dog and a fucking goddamn half-eaten ice cream cone. Another caller calling in here. Let's see what we got. He's supposed to call on the show this evening. Good evening. Welcome in to the Rob, Comrade, and Kale show. Spit it out. What you got?
Well, I'm just calling about the super conferences.
All right. What do you think?
So, we got kickback from Comrade and Kale, but, I mean, there's so much higher points to this. There are lower points. I mean, no one says we have to keep these conferences forever. It'll wash out these Missouris, these South Carolinas. If you don't perform well in 5 years, we can get you out. We can pick up a certain quarter. We can pick up a Boise State if you're in the Midwest or the Boise Northwest. State.
He said Boise State. I'm sorry. I can't. I appreciate you calling us here, man. What else you got? Okay.
Well, I'm just saying the Power Four doesn't have to be the same 80 teams all the time.
Okay. That makes sense, man. Hey, thanks for joining us on the show.
Of course, phone lines
are still open.
He's going with the European soccer model, where it's kind of like a relegation type of thing, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
How they do it. Like, you kind of, and that would be a good idea. Like, so basically, if you finish in the bottom two of the SEC, you have to go down to the ACC. If you win the ACC, you move up to the SEC. That'd be a good little relegation thing.
Sir, this is a
That's kind of like getting kicked out of reading one and getting put in remedial reading.
Yeah, exactly.
Or sent to some dumb Russians class instead of your actual normal academic track.
No, Clemson has won a game at Boise State before. They won a game on the Smurf turf.
I was at that game.
They didn't play Boise State.
They played Louisiana Tech. I was at that game.
I bet they didn't get shut out by them like Miami did either.
Fuck no. Fuck no. Woody Dancer played in that game, ran all over everybody. It was fucking crazy. It was a Woody Dancer show, final game of his career. Yeah. No, that wasn't happening at all. All right, so final
moment. You were at that game, yeah. Rob?
Yeah, I was.
You flew out there?
Yeah, oh yeah. It was before I got married, I was fucking stupid. I was blowing money like crazy. I didn't give a shit. I went out there and I met some friends, and it was so funny because the comrade will appreciate this. IPTE had like their big party or whatever, and normally those are like closed off to folks. But yeah, they let us in without even thinking about it. We got to go snowmobiling for nothing. That was interesting. All right, here we go. Another call coming in to the show this evening. Welcome into the Rob Comrade and Kale Show. What you got?
I just Texas A&M fan.
Hello, Texas A&M fan. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great tonight, man. The one thing I'm calling about is I'm hoping we have a season because we get to kick Tennessee's ass again.
You think you're going to kick Tennessee's ass again?
That's last time we played Florida.
Okay.
So we want to bring Florida out to our stadium.
So, well, Florida, well, yeah, you don't schedule Florida every year. Okay. All right. So you just is that the only reason we want to have a season is to play fucking Tennessee? Really?
Well, no, yeah, that is kind of a poor excuse to play.
I mean,
but,
I can think of 50 reasons to have a season that doesn't involve fucking Tennessee. I mean, come on, man.
I'm going to tell you our Aggie story.
Okay.
Hey, when I was in school at A&M, the reason, you know, we have that after we score a touchdown, we fire off the cannon, right?
Mm-hmm.
A cannon shot after every score. Well, when I was in school there, we didn't have that, and guys were out hunting and stuff around their college station, and they found this fucking cannon.
Okay.
So they brought it back to campus and restored it, so now we fired after every score. And there's a lot of traditions we got. Matter of fact, we've probably got as many traditions as anybody, really.
Yeah, I mean, and that's all well and good, man. And I'm not going to piss on anybody's traditions. So I think those traditions are better than fucking Tennessee, though. You should be calling me up and saying, I want to have a college football season because I want to see my guys doing goddamn Yale practice. Man, fuck Tennessee, man. You don't get fucking those motherfuckers. No one gives a shit about them.
See, that's the thing, though. If we don't have the damn fans, we're going to lose the whole atmosphere. I mean, I go out there and look at the cheerleaders and all that stuff, and, you know, fuck, if we just got no fans out there, it's just not the same. I think Comrade already hit on that. Comrade already brought up the fact that the experience is deeper, the rivalries, the traditions, the band, you know, the coaches jumping up and down, and, you know, it's more than just a game. But if the fans aren't there, it's not really the same.
Well, yeah, I think we all agree the fans need to be there. Why not?
Well, they're talking about South Carolina. Ray Tanner's got the model in to have 20,000 people at the game, so they're all socially distanced, and everybody should be able to do that. I mean, it'll just look like a whole bunch of Mizzou home games.
That's a good point.
That's true.
Hey, and also, Rob,
yeah.
South Carolina may be able to get Terry Bowden off of Clemson staff. Terry Bowden coaches for Clemson.
He doesn't coach there anymore, but yeah, he was an analyst last year. That's what he was with. I talked to him at the ACC championship game. A nice guy. He looked like he didn't know what the fuck was going on. He looked like he'd been out there smoking that old dope hashish.
Rob, how long do you think it's been since he's been in a championship game?
Terry Bowden was last valid like when he took that Auburn team that was on probation and they went like undefeated. I think they were bitching that they were national champions, but they were on fucking probation. They probably claim a national title over there for that shit. Fucking awful.
Hey, he's 5 years younger than Mac Brown, and so it's not really an age factor. But he does have a.
But he hasn't coached with a shit. I mean, there's a big difference between Mac Brown and Les Miles. Les Miles won a national title. Mac Brown's a hell of a coach and is rebuilding North Carolina. Terry Bowden went to Akron and was shit. There's a big difference. But hey, man, I appreciate you joining us this evening, brother, and bringing up Terry Bowden. Thanks a lot for calling from Texas, sir. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
All right, there you go. Texas A&M fan calling. All right, final call for calls this evening. Jonathan says, I bet he doesn't share that. What is he talking about? I don't know what Jonathan's talking about. I think, let's see here. Edwin Reeves calls them the Vaggies. Yeah, they are the Vaggies. Fuck them, man. I'm going to fuck every team but us mode. Someone posted something in one group the other day that was like, what league would you want to go in if you had to leave your league to play in another conference? How about this? I'm going to play in the Clemson Conference.
The Southern Conference.
And fuck everybody but us. What are you talking about? Talking about, Cale. I'm not going
to
the
Southern Conference. So what league would you want to go into if we had to leave? I said the Southern Conference.
Go watch some games with the Citadel. That wouldn't be bad.
Yeah,
my final thing of the evening, and this is just something I wanted to throw out there. If, with the college football season in peril, you know who's going to be happy about this, comrade? You have any guess?
No, who?
All of these women that want a fall wedding with fall colors. That's look, true. Let me explain something to you women out there. And this is just me. My co-host may not feel the same way. If you have a fall wedding in this fall, first of all, if you had a fall wedding generally during football season, you're a horrible person, and I'm not going to like you anyway. But if you have one this season, we can't be friends. Don't expect me to show up. Dead serious. If you're having all these fall women and fall leagues and fall weddings with all, we can have it with fall colors and it'll be great. I hope you end up divorced. Dead serious about that. All these women talking about that. I read something about that. The trend this year is to have a fall wedding with fall colors. No. We should have a moratorium on that. If we're not going to have football season, then fuck you and your wedding too. There you go. What do my co-hosts think of that? They're over there like, man, Rob just went off the rail. Fuck all that. What do you guys think about that, Gil? It's awful. Thanks, Gil.
Fall wedding is not that's not traditional anyway. Should be in the summertime.
Yeah, get married in the summer. That's the way that it should be. If you're not sweating in your tuxedo, it's fucking worthless. All right, well, there you go with that. Gentlemen, we're going to talk again on Sunday night. But it was a pretty good show this tonight, so thank you guys. And do you have anything else that you would like to add before we go?
That's it.
There you go. All right, and with that, gentlemen, the show is a wrap.